Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take your sources and, well, we pull out the key nuggets of knowledge.
That's the goal.
And today we're plunging into a really interesting one. It's Panel 2, Entrepreneurs on Challenges and Pathways to Getting Clinical Studies Funded. This is from the 2025 Translational Resource Center Networking Exchange.
Yeah, a really crucial discussion.
Absolutely. Our mission here is to figure out the essential strategies, you know, for getting investment in the dental, oral, craniofacial, DOC, and regenerative medicine, RM, fields.
It's such a vital topic for anyone trying to innovate in this space. I mean, it's all about bridging that gap, isn't it, between the groundbreaking science and actually getting it to patients.
Exactly. Impact.
And the sources we have today, they're packed with insights. You've got top entrepreneurs sharing their, you know, real-world journeys, the ups, the downs.
And some surprising truths, maybe, about what investors really want to see.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Paul Kosnoek, he moderated Panel 2, founder of Phylon Pharma Services. He really kicked things off.
Mm-hmm.
He emphasized that for his own orthobiologic startup, the number one thing, the absolute first filter, was 100% clinical adoption.
Wow. 100%. That sounds incredibly high for an early stage.
Right. What does that even mean practically, demanding that from day one?
Well, it's a powerful lens, actually. Paul brought up a Peter Drucker quote, something like, "There's nothing so useless as making efficient that which should not be done at all."
Okay.
So if doctors don't actually use your product, if it doesn't get adopted, well, all the effort, the luck, the funding, it's all for nothing, basically.
Right. Futile.
Futile.
Yeah.
And he points out, investors, they bring in their own experts. They'll figure out if your product will be adopted, maybe even, you know, better than you can at that stage.
Oof. Okay.
So this right-to-left mindset he talked about, starting with the end user, the market adoption, and working backwards, that's critical. Mm. You have to prove market pull, not just scientific push.
Got it. So, okay, adoption is the big filter. But how do you actually package that vision? How do you convince the investors? Samuel Lynch, Lynch Regenerative Medicine, raised over $165 million, so he knows a thing or two.
Yeah, definitely.
He offered his five Ps,
yeah.
An approach he says really resonates, especially now, you know, with funding being tighter.
Oh, yeah. These are bedrock. Absolutely essential.
Yeah.
First is purpose.
Right.
And it's not just what you're doing, but how it creates the next big value jump for the company. Like, how does this unlock a significantly higher valuation for them? That's purpose.
The next inflection point. Makes sense.
Second, people.
Yeah.
Obvious, maybe, but crucial. Do you have the right team, the expertise, a track record? Investors are betting on the jockeys, right?
Yeah.
The team. Third, passion and perseverance. Because let's be honest, 99 times out of 100, things won't go as planned.
Uh-huh. Murphy's Law of Startups.
Totally. Investors need to see you've got the grit, the resilience to overcome those obstacles. Fourth, probability of success. They will handicap your trial's odds. They'll assign a probability.
And that directly hits the valuation, I assume.
Directly impacts valuation. And finally, number five, profitability. The nuts and bolts. How will it be commercialized? What's the cost? The sales price? Reimbursement. It's that ultimate market viability check.
So purpose, people, passion, perseverance, probability, profitability. The five Ps, that's a great framework.
It really covers the bases investors care about.
Okay, let's move from the framework to some real-world stories. These really illustrate the points and maybe some tough lessons learned. Dominic Lysak, CEO of Pharmatrail, he shared a pretty candid mistake.
Yeah, this was interesting.
After selling Credentis, even though he got the CE mark fast, that's the European approval.
Right.
He admitted he made a mistake. He focused on selling, but without the right clinical data for the market he was entering. The data the market needed, not just the regulator.
That is such a key point. Regulatory approval is not the finish line. It's often just the start. Dominic really stressed, you have to talk to all the stakeholders, especially potential business partners. What data do they need to see? You've got to educate your early investors about this too. That clinical trial data, the right kind, is gold. It's the currency of market acceptance.
That's a really powerful lesson. Don't just clear the regulatory hurdle and think you're done.
Not at all.
Okay, another perspective. Iris Wiedeking, CEO of Identical Inc., their product is drill-free dental implants, came from her husband, a practicing clinician.
Right, clinician-driven innovation.
And she said she leads with the clinician benefit. Ease of use, safety, speed, no big capital investment for the dentist. That's her pitch focus.
And her background is fascinating here. She came from Clorox, Consumer Insights.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. She learned there, she said, nothing's more valuable than actually watching the end user struggle, seeing their pain points firsthand.
So applying that to identical.
Exactly. Meant early cadaver studies, observing initial human trials, getting real quantitative feedback from dentists right from the start. That kind of consumer-centric, or in this case, clinician-centric, view is just, it's transformative for building the right product.
It really grounds the innovation in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Alfred Griffin III, CEO of Lifeforce Orthodontics, he brought another angle.
Mm-hmm.
He's an orthodontist himself. And he highlighted how understanding the nitty-gritty patient workflow, how often patients visit, even like adolescent psychology.
Yeah.
That perspective really resonated with big investors like Kleiner Perkins. It wasn't just about the tech.
That's so important. It shows these non-scientific sort of real-world operational factors can be just as critical for building investor confidence.
Definitely.
Alfred also said something provocative. He said, entropy is generally your friend as a startup.
Entropy. Chaos. How is that a friend?
Well, his point was, in uncertain times when big companies are maybe shedding staff, really talented people become available. It creates an opportunity maybe to find that perfect CEO or a key partner who can translate your tech for the market.
Ah, so finding the right people again.
Exactly. And that person, that skill set, can be way more valuable than just getting another check.
That's a really insightful take on navigating turbulence. What about funding sources? Bill Limekohler, COO of Bioelectrics, he touched on something specific to dental devices.
Yeah, the funding gap.
He noted that, you know, traditional VCs often less interested compared to high net worth individuals or family offices.
Right. It's a bit of a different ecosystem sometimes for dental.
So his advice was heavy on networking in those circles and really hammering home the unmet clinical need. You have to inspire courage in those specific investors.
Makes sense. You need to find the right fit for your type of company and stage. And Connie Chang, COO of ONL Therapeutics, she brought it back to something fundamental. Like, de-risking. Investors are laser focused on de-risking. Doesn't matter if you're asking for $6,000 or $65
million. Okay.
They want to know, how are you going to make their investment safer, step by step? Regulatory strategy, commercial viability, manufacturing, team, all of it.
You need that clear roadmap for reducing risk.
Absolutely. And she mentioned something else, investors asking for key opinion leader contacts, KOLs, for triangulation.
Triangulation, like checking your story.
Basically, yeah. Cross-referencing your claims, your market potential with independent experts they trust. It's a real wake-up call, she said. Make sure all your interactions with KOLs are solid, consistent, and supportive.
Because investors will check.
They will check.
Okay, so pulling this all together, what does it mean for you, the entrepreneur listening? It seems crystal clear that, yeah, the science has to be solid, obviously. But fundraising success, that hinges on way more.
Much broader, yeah. Understanding market adoption, understanding investor psychology, communicating strategically, being transparent. It's not just what your product does, it's how it fits into the real world, how it becomes a business.
Right.
And actually connecting this back to de-risking. Thinking strategically about other uses for your technology, additional indications beyond your first target, that can be really powerful.
Like Sam Lynch did, expanding from periodontal to bigger medical markets.
Exactly. That showed investors a bigger vision and also, frankly, more shots on goal. It de-risks things if the first indication hits a snag. Maria Ryan from Colgate-Palmolive echoed this too. Start simple, maybe, but show how it opens doors to massive markets later.
But there's a caution there too, right? Samuel Lynch warned about listing too many indications.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want it to sound like snake oil. Like, it cures everything. That kills credibility fast. Be strategic, be focused, but show the potential path.
And acknowledging the risks up front in your pitch?
Huge. It shows maturity. It shows you're realistic. It actually builds trust, paradoxically. Lay out the challenges and how you plan to tackle them. It makes for a much more honest and ultimately compelling narrative.
So at the end of the day, it's not just about inventing a better mousetrap.
Not even close.
It's about meticulously building a viable business, one that truly gets the market's needs and, crucially, speaks the investor's language.
Precisely. Which kind of leaves us, and you listening, with a pretty big question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How will you connect the dots? How will you link your innovation's real human impact, the reason you started this, with those hard financial metrics that investors absolutely need to see? How do you weave that narrative that goes beyond just the science?